Finally, though. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning. Good morning.
I have a noise stick for you, too.
Thank you.
Talking about things that have gotten my attention. We've been talking about festivals. The last couple of weeks, we've been talking about the history of the destruction of the first temple. And we've talked about those things because those are the things which have managed to recapture my love for God. For a long time, I had lost interest in the church, I lost interest in the Bible. And I lost interest in those things because I couldn't make sense of the Bible. I read the various prophecies, I read the various things in the Bible, and they didn't make sense. I couldn't get the prophecies to mean anything. They didn't line up. The numbers didn't work. And so my response to that was to give up and walk away. And I left the church for a long time. I'd gone to the church and I had asked them for help. I'd said, hey, help explain this to me. let us bring various people in who can discuss this and describe it. And maybe this will help. That didn't happen. In fact, there was opposition. So I was gone for a very long time. Then a couple of years ago, my wife Jennifer said, I need to go to church. I know you don't want to. I know you have no interest in going, but I need to go to church. Now, because Jennifer has some eye problems, of course, she sees double vision, and not just double vision, but for those of you who are familiar with old television sets, and you see those vertical lines go through the picture, that's how her vision is. It's really dangerous to drive, but this is happening all the time to you. So anyway, I drive her everywhere. And she says, I want to go to church. Well, when we first come to the island, we had met Dick Stahl in the parking lot of Island Market. And Dick Stahl was a nice man. Friendly, went out of the way to welcome us to the community. And Jennifer struck up a conversation with him and exchanged emails. They talked about that. So anyway, Jennifer says, we need to go. I need to go to church. I know you don't want to, but I need to go to church. I need you to take me downhill. All right, fine. I can't take you to the community church because they go to church a long day. So I'll take you off and drop you off at that little Adventist church that we had never even driven through the campus. And so I did. Dropped her off here, and I intended to wander town, take photos, because I enjoy taking photos. And I think it was cold and windy that day. So I decided to, yeah, it was a little cold, it was a little windy. I knew it was warmer in the church. I could see what drops from Jennifer was enduring. So I came to church and sat over there, if I remember right. And that was before Gracie was here, and guests didn't have a speaker, and it was just music, the whole service. I was different, kind of cool. Okay, I like music. You guys didn't even sound bad. The church I went to back in Colorado, that required endurance. They sang the hymns, and I'm sorry. That drove people off. The church rather brought them in. They were bad. So, come back the second week. Second week, Terry Powell had a service. I even liked what he had to say. I thought he was right. I thought it was a good talk. I appreciated it. So we come coming back. And then I think we decided to go to Sabbath school. The community here was different than the other Adventist churches I've been in. This church was welcoming. It permitted questions. It encouraged dialogue. Thank you. Because of that, I picked up my Bible again. Because of that, I started to study. Because of that, I decided that I was curious about the festivals. Jennifer had her best friend from childhood came to see us. And I knew that they had started becoming much more interested in the Jewish faith. So I saw them as an opportunity to learn about the festivals because I knew nothing. So Dan and Michelle came to the island. They spent a week with us. We spent the entire week with them, virtually every hour. And during that time, I asked them about the festivals, and I quickly discovered I knew more than they did, and I knew nothing. In fact, I was extremely disappointed. And the more I talked to them, the more I discovered that they had lost their faith. They decided that Jesus was no longer the good guy, he was the bad guy. They decided that Jesus was a false prophet. And that was amazing, considering that he was a preacher's kid from a Methodist church. She was a strong, strong Christian believer as a child. Here you go, Andy. There's a couple more paddles. We might need these together. So anyway, I decided to start studying the festival on my own. I bought multiple books. Most of those books were just a recitation of various rituals that had been created by the Jews. Anyway, and for some reason I was happening to read one of the prophecies, and I saw a parallel between the festivals and the prophecies. And for some reason that unlocked a tremendous interest and desire in studying the subject. And when I did that, I discovered that when we took a look at Daniel chapter 9, compared that to the prophecies, or to the festivals in the first month, I saw some incredible parallels. And that sparked a tremendous amount of interest. Then I started reading about calendars, and I started reading about how that entire calendar system worked. And I discovered all the permutations and the corruptions and controversies and all the things about it. I shared those things here with this group, and as I shared those things with this group, obviously, many of them are new and different, and yet they're all founded in the Bible. I have always appreciated this church's willingness to talk and discuss anything there. In my opinion, that is one of its greatest strengths. And to be honest with you, let me go back a little bit. When I moved to Nebraska, I decided to run for public office. I decided I wanted to be a state legislator. So in that process, it was a district which had about 40 different towns in the state legislature for that district. All of them very small towns. Biggest one was 8,000 people, but most of them were in the neighborhood of 500 people, somewhere in that neighborhood. Anyway, I went to each one of those towns, and I knocked on many of the doors. And as I went to each town, I discovered that every town had its own personality. Some towns were very welcoming, other towns were hostile, other towns were industrious, other ones, etc. Each town was unique. It's just like each one of us as individuals are unique individuals. Each town had a personality. So it became fascinating to me, why does a town have a personality? What causes that town to be of a personality? Of course, a different town is different. And for those of you who've lived in multiple communities, I think you'll recognize communities have personalities. And what I realized and came to conclude was that what ends up happening is there's usually several people in the community which take leadership roles. They don't necessarily have to be the mayor. They might be, you know, the pharmacist of the store. They might be the, you know, dog catcher. It doesn't matter. But they have personalities which cause people to surround them and to join them to follow. And as people do that, the whole town begins to emulate the person with that personality. For example, all the way up in Colorado, it tends to be a very hostile community to anybody that's bringing something new and different. It's very proprietary, very, etc. Whereas you happen to have Imperial, that happens to be an extremely welcoming community. Bring your ideas, bring whatever you want to do, try it. Fails, we still love it anyway. When I came to this church, I saw a personality which I found very, very attractive. And I will blame probably the Roosevelts, the Clauses, and the Parnells. And why I say that is you guys have always been very tolerant, very, very welcoming. And that has caused this entire campus, this entire community, I think, to do much better. I think you have been a great blessing to the community. So thank you for that. I think that if it reflects who you choose as teachers, I think that reflects who you choose as pastors, I think that reflects who is attracted to the congregation. I think that's an extremely good thing that you do. I have appreciated the opportunity to share the things that I've learned. I know that all the things that we talk about are not necessarily of interest to everyone. And I know that some of the things we talk about are disturbing to some. And I know that in some communities, the reaction would be hostile. And the reaction would be, we don't want you to talk about this subject, so we don't want you to even attend our church. In fact, I have experienced communities like that in Elton Lots. I'm very familiar with them. This community is different, and I appreciate that. At the same time, I know that I have taxed the patience of this church with some topics that we've talked about. We've talked about 457, and that is a sacred number. It's one that makes us uncomfortable to talk about. Let me tell you where is that I wanted to go, our final destination. The destination that I had in mind was this. I am absolutely convinced that each and every one of the prophecies applies to each and every generation. So when I take a look at Daniel 9, for example, I believe it was of importance to the people before the time of Jesus. I think it gave them hope and encouragement and let them be assured that Jesus was the Messiah. I'm absolutely convinced that that's what that prophecy is about. And I think that prophecy is also for us, for the exact same reasons. I think that that prophecy has meaning for us. And I think that is true for each and every one of the parts of the Bible that we look at. Whether it be prophecy, or whether it be the Beatitudes, or whether it be the Old Testament stories, it doesn't matter. Each and every one of those stories is written for whoever's reading them, whoever's looking at them. And they're meant to give faith, to give hope, and to give encouragement. That's the reason they're there. Some of us, for example, Lorison, those of us who all met know Lorison, which I think is everybody here almost, she was fascinated by Old Testament stories. She found them interesting. For her, that was exciting. Whereas many of the rest of us find some of the New Testament stories to be fascinating and interesting. Different parts of the Bible appeal to different people. And I think the Bible has a wealth of variety, some of its poetry, some of its history, some of its stories, and that appeals to a lot of different people. It's a good thing. For me, I like to take a look at it and say, what does this part of the Bible say about me? What instruction does it have for me? What can I gain out of it? Yeah, I like history, as you guys know. I study history. History is fascinating. But to be honest with you, what is much more interesting to me is what the Bible has to tell me about me. What does it have to do with my future, my history, my story? So, the final destination, in my opinion, was to take Daniel chapter 9 and say, how does it apply to me today? And in my opinion, the festivals help us understand that. Yes, it applied historically. Yes, it applied to the time of the first temple being destroyed, the second temple being built, prophesying and telling us of Jesus. But that's 2,000 years ago. I care about what it has to do with me as well, and that's important. So, that was where I was going. My destination was, how does this set of prophecies, not just Daniel 9, but every one of them, there are prophecies about 5 months, there are prophecies about 42 months, there are prophecies about 1260 days, 1290 days, 1335 days, there are prophecies about 2300 evenings and mornings. All of those prophecies are in the Bible, and I think each and every one of them is written for every generation, and I think it's written especially for whichever generation happens to live at the time when Jesus comes back. I find that fascinating. I can't help but talk about that. So, that's where I put my study. That's where I put my effort. Now, the question becomes, what do we do with Sabbath school? That's why you have the paths. The question is, where do we go with Sabbath school? Do we take something such as the Adventist portal and use that as a study guide? It's all good and fine. It's pre-approved admin's message with pre-approved questions with pre-approved destinations. Led by the church, all safe, all good. No problem. Do we choose to follow wherever we want to go? Do we have pre-selected topics so that we can study them in advance and know where 2 or 3 weeks or month or whatever in advance where we're going? Do we choose a particular topic? Do we say we want to study prayer or we want to study whatever? So that is kind of the questions. What I'd like to do is ask the group, please speak up, don't be shy. Let me tell you another thing about how I work. So oftentimes people try to be polite and not say something, or they try to be even politer and tell you what they want you to, what they think you want to hear. I have a tendency to accept people when they say they want something or don't want something for what they say, even though I know they mean something different. They quickly learn that they should say what they mean. So, I am not a member of this church. You guys have allowed me to sit here and be with you. And thank you, but if you want to go a different path, that's perfectly fine. If you would like to have somebody who's going to talk about other things, that's perfectly fine as well. I don't have to be here. I can be out there. So, question is, what would you guys like to do with Sabbath School? Where would you like to go with it? What would you like to talk about? And basically what the panels are for is so that you can all kind of get a sense for what everybody thinks. And don't be shy to use them. So, it's open season. What would you like to do with Sabbath School?
Well, I'll start the conversation going. I for one would like to kind of see where you're headed in the festivals in this prophecy and how the festivals explain it to your satisfaction. We're not there yet. Kind of get stuck in the weeds a little bit here with the dates, because the dates are a good thing. How do the festivals kind of unlock it and apply to us in the future?
It seems like one of the challenges in a small community is people, constituents, and choice. That's such a big thing. In school, it's like when we came to electives, I can remember years ago, we had six different electives going with one student in each elective. And it's just, you know, it'd be nice if we had choice, you know, if we had this class, that class, but for a small community, that's so challenging because, you know, to make something meaningful, everybody has to be there and contribute. That's hard with so few. But so maybe, you know, there's the opportunity for us to branch out a little bit and maybe have more than one class.
And
I think I'd like to see some variety. I think what you're doing is teaching about things that I really haven't studied on, so you're pushing me, and I'm coming to cyber school not really sure. Maybe not prepared because I didn't do my own part. I think that's good and I like it. I'm enjoying your teaching. You're a natural teacher. And I appreciate that. And the way you're able to summarize, and we have some gifts to teach it. So I really enjoyed that. Maybe what we could do is we have certain weeks we follow the lesson, other weeks we do other stuff. And you could be one of the ones, you know, and keep us, because I'm very, you know, I think I've shared before, I had a mentor earlier in life who was Jewish and helped me see a different way of looking at Christianity. And I feel like as time's gone, I lost that. And so hearing you and listening to you, it's kind of brought me back to that, to understand about the importance of Jesus being Jewish and the Old Testament and all that. So I don't want you to stop, but I'd like to see some other things too, like follow the lesson certain weeks, or maybe we have somebody else who can teach it.
Thank you.
I appreciate very much your depth of study and the way you dig into things. And for me, I find your Sabbath school very interesting. And I enjoy listening to your historical perspective and your ideas on things. On the other hand, I don't really care what is being pursued in Sabbath school as long as it's interesting. Truthful.
Fair enough. It's probably true for all of us. Boredom is the worst sin, right? Mike?
Yeah. I really appreciated your preparation. I told several people you must spend 40 hours a week preparing. Also, one, it's a little bit intimidating. I don't. I didn't know until last day or two that 2300 days and festivals is leading to the end of mine. So, since we've already invested, you know, a few months on those two sides, I think, you know, I'm up for taking another 2 or 3 weeks. Okay, what's your connection? I also feel like, you know, I've studied the scriptures more passionately than I ever have from Ozark Academy on, either to defend what I thought were my beliefs, and I changed some of them, but, you know, I still disagree on several of the topics or, you know, things like that. I think that's kind of helpful. I'd kind of like to see, well, what is the Daniel 9 connection? You and I may not agree on 457 for a variety of reasons, and I think that's okay. Me too, so.
Fair enough.
So I would probably go bananas if I didn't finish your thought with how you see the connection between the prophecy and the festivals. I have all these ideas where you're going. Good ideas, and I'm like, I hope that's not where he's going. I just need to see where he's going with it. So I need to take that journey with you. But maybe to build on what Annie was saying and Mike, is that a lot of us come prepared sometimes with these questionable, we're unprepared for the questions we're going to ask. Does that make sense? Like the 2 weeks ago when we had this discussion on 57, we were like, whoa, where does it come from? And a lot of us were kind of like taken back. So I don't think a lot of us are opposed to being challenged, but maybe we have an opportunity ahead of time for an email, maybe saying, this is what we're discussing, this is just the premise of it. And I mean, you can keep some of the laces of your sleeve still for yourself. if we have an opportunity to make, okay, this is what we're saying, unless I can look at where he's going and kind of gauge what's going on. I have not a debate, right, but you know, my thoughts on things on the matter.
So to address that, oftentimes I come not knowing what we'll talk about.
Okay.
But sometimes, I mean, obviously we have some graphics prepared. So for the last several weeks, I have come prepared knowing what I want to talk about. The graphics are there. And know what I want to do with them. But for example, like on this little worksheet that we had, what was it, last week? Where it was 2 weeks, where we said, you know, what year, how many years were the Jews captive? Well, 70 years. How many years, you know, would it be from the time they were taken captive until 457, etc.? The hope and idea was I expected to go through that entire thing in one Sabbath school and have some other things to talk about. We managed to get to number 3 out of the 8. And so, part of it is it's dynamic. And where you guys want to go is sometimes you'll ask questions or say, hey, what do you think about this? And we pursue that rabbit, that squirrel. And that's good and fine. I have no problems with that. I am happy to share in advance what I've written, graphics. As you guys know, I have often taken some of this material and I've turned it into a written document where you can see the entire argument. And I have a hard time containing that into just a page usually. Usually it turns into 10 pages, and I apologize. But I try to document what I've written. I try to give you the logic of how I got there. I beg of you, I plead with you to challenge me. Challenge everything I say. Say, Steve, you got it wrong on that spot. That is not correct. Please do that. I beg of it. As Mike says, we don't agree on everything. And I agree with Mike, it's okay. We don't have to agree on everything. I think we can get to the exact same point via multiple paths. The one path, and the reason why I even brought the history in, because as you guys know, my focus has not been history, my focus has been on what it means to us. And so why did I bring the whole history thing in? Why did we talk about Darius? Why did we talk about Longimanus? Why did we talk about all of that? For those of you who are not Adventists and don't have an Adventist background, you go, what in the heck were you talking about? You know, I don't even know any of that. And I don't understand the background or why the topic was there. But for every Adventist in the group, 457 is a sacred date. It's a sacred date for a couple of reasons. One, it is the foundation for the prophecy that takes us from the Persian ruler, some Persian ruler, to Jesus. Therefore, it's a prophecy that predicts Jesus. And it gives us faith that Jesus was Jesus, that Jesus was the Messiah. I challenged that 457. That disturbs some of you. But it's also even more questionable on the subject of the 2300 days. The 2300 evenings and mornings of the prophecy of Daniel 8:14 starts also with 457. So if we take 2300 days and we go from 457, we end up at 1844. And 1844 is a critical date to Adventism. So anything which challenges 457 challenges our faith and wobbles our foundations, taking out some legs out of our chair, extremely important. And then at the same time, I realized it's no threat at all. And the reason I say that, let me ask you this. Is your faith affected in any way, shape, or form by whether the year was 1843 or 1844 or 1957 or 1800? Does the year matter to you? Does it affect your faith? Does it affect your relationship with God if that number happens to be off by a year or two or 10? And why should it affect it? Your faith is not dependent on that number being right, is it? I don't think so. Our faith is dependent upon our relationship with God because of what we read in the Bible and all of those stories taken together. So whether 457 is right or wrong, this will threaten our faith in any shape, way, shape, or form. The reason for me even bringing the subject up was some of us cling so hard, so much, to say this is the way it was or is. I have this historical interpretation, and that interpretation is the one and only understanding of that prophecy that can be. And therefore, I reject any other one. And I felt it necessary to say, let's maybe find you a reason why you need to consider an alternative. That was the reason for the discussion of the last couple weeks. That's the reason for this conversation right now, because that discussion makes some of you very uncomfortable. Keep in mind, I think each and every one of us loves God. I think we love each other. And I think what we want to do is be closer to God. That's the end goal. How do we get there? Is different for each of us. For me, I love God more and I gain more when I can be with people who share that same fellowship and that same desire. I tend to be a hermit, an antisocial. I don't like to be people, but it's unfortunate I recognize I need you. Anyways, I'll tell her first one. She needs it too. Even though she hasn't been here, she'd like to be here. So I'm expecting that she will be here probably sometime in the next 2 months. As soon as we can get the vaccine, but unfortunately we're too young to qualify. They go through the question. Are you associated with other people? Are you like Krista, who happens to be around people all the time? Or are you like Andy or Ron, who's, you know, with people all day long? And our answer is no. Well, then you don't need the vaccine. Okay, you're right, we don't. We'll wait. I expect probably come about May, we will go from having a shortage of vaccine to needing to chase people down and force them to take it. And that will be the narrative change. And we'll be now talking about people's rights to refuse it. I've already been through that debate with my staff at the assisted living facility.
This is such a chase on someone yesterday to get a vaccine.
We have one left over.
Sacrifice. So, how did you do it? Did you just chase it down and stick them with the needle?
Well, it was done.
All right, so the reason we have your paddles is let's ask you this. I suggest that what we do is that we go ahead and follow the Daniel 9 question. And when we've done that for however long it takes to get there, several weeks, that we then stop again, review again what we want to do next and where we want to go. And whether that be a separate Sabbath school, whether that be, anyway, let's do this and then I'll tell you about the cookies. I need to get rid of the cookies because Jennifer and I are going to do the unleavened bread thing. And that means cookies have leaven on them, unfortunately, which means the cookies, either I eat them all before, and that would probably kill me. I did that before, and it almost killed me. Anyway, you guys need to help me eat the cookies, even. Yeah, right.
I'm going to change this around in the direction. I want to say something. When I first came here, my biggest flaw in this church, more than anything, was, besides the people in it, was the gatherings, was getting together and socializing and all that, being able to talk to everybody, get to know everybody. And we don't have that. It's almost obsolete, besides coming here in church and doing our little thing, and everybody going all over there. So, I mean, that's something that I think is going to make a big difference in here to the fellowship.
I agree. Most people come to church, I believe, for the fellowship or the socialization. We tend to be social animals. It's the way we're made. And we found people who have similar values, and that's what attracts us to each other. We like to sit down, have a meal together, talk about our shoulders, and we're all broken up. All of our other maladies that go on. As one of the guys in one of the clubs I work with calls them organ recitals. So the question is, your palace, how should we do this? Should we give you several options? What would our options be? Anybody want to summarize those for us? What do we want to do?
In Daniel 9 with prophecy and festivals in the next
few weeks.
Oh, how about 3 weeks?
That's up to you guys.
Well, can you?
I can do it in a few minutes.
But within 3 weeks, that's my
So 3 weeks and then what?
Yeah, let's talk about what study they might be. Something new or something new or a lesson or quarterly or
fair enough.
Because you also put everyone on the spot, maybe in the next few weeks they can think about, oh, we'd like to study this or then people.
And that's okay to find. Now, keep in mind that there are some topics which are going to be of interest to you, and if that is something you're passionate about, and that's what you want to study, you may need to be the one who is the one.
Sure.
And lead. So, be willing to do that. Now, not all of us are willing to sit here or stand here and take the microphone, but Andy.
I have a question. You said that you, I didn't hear your whole, the whole story because I was in with the kids, but you said that you, you're like hermit-like. So what was it like for you to then come and like teach a group of people? Have you done that before? I guess you work with your employees and so forth, so, but I mean, was that like something that was like kind of tough for you to say, oh, I'm gonna be in front, I'm gonna be teaching and this kind of thing because of your enjoyment of, you know, being alone and doing things on your own?
I've never been afraid of being in front of people. Doesn't matter the size of the audience, I rarely get nervous. Sometimes I do, usually not. Maybe it's because when I started going to church, we went to a little tiny church, which was about this size, from here to the windows. And it had about 10 people. Most of them were older and unable to sing. But they tried anyway. And I found that to be the most torturous part of church. It was so bad. But because it was such a small church, we had one pastor which usually went to 3 to 4 different churches. And so we would have a pastor once a month, usually. And the other times, we would have somebody from the congregation speak. And that often ended up being either myself or my father. And myself, that started about the age of 10. And so I would stand up and have them talk. It was a small group, but became comfortable with it. When I was in high school, I enjoyed music, so I formed a music group. They told me I can't sing. And so my job was to be manager and to organize things, and so I would arrange for their schedule. And I was one who brought them together. When I was in college, I did the same thing. While I was in college, I also went as a student missionary, taught in South Korea for a year, and therefore I was in front of people 6 days a week. Classes 5 days a week, and I would also do all the Sabbath services. I would teach, and the pastor was the translator, he was an excellent one. He was the first guy who told me. He and I got along. And then came back, tried to. Anyway, I've been always comfortable here. I prefer to not be around people, but that's just my preference. But being in front of people is probably busy, I'll tell. So, anyway. So what I'm hearing right now from the group is that we should go ahead and, as Mike said, we have 3 weeks to talk about Daniel Lennon. So, and at that point in time, then we'll review again what we want to talk about, and maybe who wants to talk, and that's fine. We'll go from there. So then the question becomes, we're already, I can't tell, the clock looks like it's wrong. What time are we?
10:55.
All right. So, well, next week maybe talk about it. Where I would probably start is start with Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24 gets us to Daniel 9 very quickly. Matthew chapter 24, read through it and decide. Yet starting in verse 15 and going to about verse, I don't know, say 30, 35. Take a look at those sections. That would be your prep for next week. And those verses, in my opinion, are going to take you to the destruction of the Second Temple in AD 70. I think they are also going to take you to our future. I think they do both. And then from Matthew 24, Matthew 24 takes us directly to Daniel chapter 9. And when you read Daniel chapter 9, verses 24 through 27, replace the words, your holy city and your people, with your own personal name. 77 to Victory and for Diego. To do what?
What chapter is Daniel 9 with?
So what we're looking at is Daniel chapter 9, verse 24 through 27. So the last four verses. Now, we as a church, Ellen White, takes Daniel chapter 9 and applies it both to the destruction of Jerusalem, and she applies it to our future. And she places it with the abomination of desolation. She does both. I think she's correct. We know the historical understanding. We can spend weeks there if we want. We don't have weeks, so we're going to focus instead, if it's okay with you guys, focus on what Daniel 9 means to us. And I'm going to get to Daniel 9 because Jesus tells us to go there. Jesus says, read Daniel chapter 9. Jesus says, it is applicable to you who live at the end. That's Jesus' own words. Tim.
Where is it?
Matthew chapter 24. Start at verse 15.
Okay.
Read all of Matthew 24. Read the context and understand. But Matthew 24, verse 15, is where we'd start. Chris.
Oh, I don't know if you have time, but I'd like to be kind of what opposition was given to you. I wasn't here last hour.
I'm sorry.
I couldn't tune in last hour and hear the people's challenge towards here.
There was no challenge last week during sales. All the challenges come outside of sales.
Okay.
And there's a great deal of uncomfortableness with the topic of we've been talking about. There's a group of people which are that are concerned with the topic of 457 and about the festivals in general. A number of people say, look, you've talked about the festivals for months, and we're getting tired hearing about it. The festivals are not applicable to us today. Now, just as a side little story in there, this last week I had someone from the community church approach me and said, would you sponsor me as a missionary? Would you be one of the people who would help contribute to my missions? We're pursuing one question. And the reason I say that is I said, okay, if you want to be a missionary, what is it you're going to go teach? Oh, the love of God, of course. All right, so tell me about this love of God that you want to teach. Tell me. They came to that conclusion. So they wanted to tell me about the love of God. So I said, okay. So one of the things that they cited was the Ten Commandments. Oh, that's a nice thing for you to want to teach. So why do you not keep the Sabbath? Why do you go to church on the first day instead of the seventh day? Anyway. I've decided that maybe I don't need a sponsor. Because they are not convicted that the seventh day is the right day. And I think that in and of itself, perhaps once we're done with Daniel 9, is to discuss what is conviction? And how does conviction come about? What is it that, in other words, the vast majority of Christianity worships on Sunday today, and they're not convicted of the Sabbath. And because they're not convicted of it, does that mean it is not right day? What is conviction? How does conviction come about? I think it's a worthy topic for discussion. I think we could use the Bible to discuss what is conviction and how it comes about. Anyway, just as a topic for future consideration.
I like that.
Okay, 11 o'clock.
Hey, Steve.
Mike.
Yeah, I thought you were a member, and I think you'd all love it if you were, so you consider that. It's like, I don't know how that happens, but
I don't get it.
You get your membership card and you go to the ring, so.
Well, we've been handing out the decoder rings, as you know. They're kind of a lot of fun. And for those of you who still have your decoder rings, you should look at some of your hymnals. Especially page 100. I thought that was a good idea.
Yeah.